The text of Scripture I want us to look at this evening with you are the opening words of verse number 14 of Jeremiah chapter number 4. Let me read that opening part of that verse with you again. Jeremiah 4 verse 14 is our text. It says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. Now, whenever God called Jeremiah of old to be a prophet, indeed, the moral and the spiritual condition of ancient Judah was very low. Yes, the people had turned away from the Lord, and they had embraced idolatry and wickedness. Look at the end of verse number 22. It describes them there. It says, they are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. And their sin had provoked God's wrath, and in judgment they were going to be taken down into captivity into the land of Babylon. Notice how the Lord speaks, warns them of this in verses 6 and 7. In the middle of that verse, the Lord says, For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Verse 13 says, Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. And the cause of this destruction was their sin. Look at verse 18 of the chapter. It says, Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. There was consequences with their sin and their departure from the Lord and their rebellion from the ways of the Lord. It provoked God's wrath and judgment. And my, they were going to be taken as captives down into the land of Babylon. However, in mercy, before this captivity takes place, God sends his messengers, God sends his prophets to warn the people of their sin, and indeed to call the people to repentance in their lives. Indeed, that was the very purpose of Jeremiah's ministry. It was a ministry that he himself was called to do. It was a ministry that he was one who discharged it faithfully, despite much opposition and despite much discouragement during his life. And in this chapter, we see how ancient Judah are being called to return to the Lord and to be cleansed from their sin. And that message is really summed up for us in the words of our text this evening in verse 14 of the chapter, where God says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. But you know, friends, tonight, as well as being applied to ancient Israel, these same words can also be applied to all mankind. You see, all mankind are sinners before God. All indeed are condemned to eternal damnation and hell because of their sin. And indeed, the only way that man can be saved from the awful ruin and penalty of his sin is for him to have his sin cleansed away by God. And this way of cleansing from sin is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ and in his atoning blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. As we were singing earlier on there in that great gospel hymn, What can wash away my sin? And nothing but the blood of Jesus. Therefore, whenever we think of the words of our text tonight in this light, we see them really as a wonderful picture in the gospel. Indeed, of God calling sinners to salvation. And people, it is this call to salvation that I want us to look at tonight. If you're not saved tonight, oh, that you would heed this call, that you would come to know and to trust and to rest upon Christ alone for your salvation. You'll notice, first of all, here with me how this call to salvation, it highlights the sinful condition of man's heart. For it says here in Jeremiah 4, verse 14, it says, Wash thine heart from wickedness. And the reference here to the heart really refers to the soul of man, the mind of man.
the entire faculty and being of man, the very center of his being. The word wickedness here highlights to us the sinful nature, the sinful depravity of man's heart before God. You see, by nature, man's heart is sinful. By nature, man's heart is wicked before God. And my man has inherited this sinful nature and sinful heart through the fall of his first parents, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and they ate the forbidden fruit. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Indeed, because of the fall of Adam, yes, man is a nature that is sinful, a nature that is polluted, a nature that is prone to every evil word and work under the sun. Paul the Apostle reminded the Christians in the church at Ephesus that this was their condition before they were saved, before their conversion to Christ. From Ephesians chapter 2, he speaks to them in verses 1 to 3, and he says these words, "And you have he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. For in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And there he is reminding them of their heart, their condition, as being sinful by nature before they were saved, before they were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that reminds us of the sinful condition and nature of all mankind. You turn in your Bible with me over to Romans chapter number 3, over to the third chapter of the book of Romans. Look with me, please, at verses 10 to 12 of that chapter and verse 23. Here you see how the sinful depravity of the human heart is something that affects all mankind, no matter what color a man's skin is, no matter what his position is in society, no matter where he come from. It is something that affects all. This depravity of sin and this sinful nature is something that is universal. Romans 3 verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And there we see one of the great fundamental truths of the Scripture, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, no matter who a person is, no matter what their background is, no matter what religious affiliation they may have. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Indeed, this is what our text is talking about here tonight in Jeremiah 4, verse 14, when it says, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness." In the day of Jeremiah the prophet, God wanted ancient Judah to see their sin, to see their sinfulness and their wicked condition before Almighty God. Hence he sends his servant with this message, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from thy wickedness." He wanted them to see their sin and their rebellion and the effects of their sin before Almighty God. And likewise, friend, tonight in this gospel meeting, can I say this is a truth that God wants you and I also to see and to realize as well. Yes, dear friend, in the meeting tonight, if ever you are to be saved, if ever you are to be right with God, you must understand that by nature, you're a sinner before God, lost and undone. This was something that the publican realized, for he cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He knew his need. He felt his need as a sinner. There are many people in the world today, and they deny the reality and the existence of sin. They say it doesn't matter how a person lives. It doesn't matter what a person does in life. Well, it does matter in the sight of God. And we must realize that sin is the breaking of God's law, the coming short of God's standard, the breaking of His commandments. The Bible says that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, it's the breaking of God's holy law. That's what the Bible shows us and teaches us. And our sin is wicked in the sight of God. The Bible speaks of the heart of man and says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Friend, if you're to be saved, this is something you need to understand. You need to realize. This was something the hymn writer realized. For he penned those words, one of those great gospel hymns that we often love to sing. And he said these words, "Vile and sinful though my heart may be." He knew he was a sinner before God. C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of a bygone day, realized this truth in his own life. For he said, "Alas, our heart is our greatest enemy." He knew his heart was sinful before Almighty God. Dear friend, if you're to be saved and right with God, this is something you must realize and come to terms with. Indeed, speaking of man's heart by nature, Christ says this. He says, "From within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." There Christ is giving us a commentary on the heart of mankind, and he says it is sinful before God. People, this is something we must all see and come to terms with. We must realize. Friend, because of your sinful nature, understand this, that there's nothing that you can do yourself that can please God. There's nothing that you can do yourself that can merit God's favor. Because of our sin by nature and practice, the Bible says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before Almighty God. Also, because of our sin by nature and practice, the Bible shows us that our sin separates us from God. It bars us from fellowship with God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin is a barrier between man and God. And also because of our sinful nature, the Bible shows us that we ourselves have no power. We have no ability ourselves to break free from the chains and the fetters of sin in our life. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And also because of our sin by nature and practice, the Bible shows us that we are condemned already to a lost eternity in hell after this life is over, after we leave this scene of time. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible shows us that hell is that place of everlasting punishment and judgment for sin. Speaking of hell, Christ says there, the fire is not quenched. It's a place of everlasting torments and woe and judgment for sin. My, this is what God was wanting Judah to realize and to see in the day of the prophet Jeremiah. And friend, in our meeting tonight, this is something else that God wants you and I to see and to realize. Yes, this call to salvation, it reminds us of the sinful condition of the heart of man before God. The awful effects of that sin when it says, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from thy wickedness." Yes, we're reminded here of the sinful condition of the human heart. But you notice something else here in our text this evening in this call to salvation. We see this wonderful truth, this glorious truth that man's heart, whoever he is, whoever she is, can be cleansed from sin. And this is the very heart, a beat of the gospel. For it says there in Jeremiah 4, verse 14, it says, "O Jerusalem," notice it, "wash thine heart from wickedness." Notice those three words there, "wash thine heart." And those words really show that this was the Lord's desire for ancient Judah. The Lord wanted to see them washed from their sin. The Lord wanted to see them cleansed from their sin. And my, in the gospel, this is the Lord's call to every sinner as well, whoever he is, whoever she is.
Oh, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this as the Lord speaks to you from this verse. Can I say, this is the Lord's desire in the gospel, that your heart be cleansed, that your heart be washed from sin. And in all of this, we see, yes, the wonderful love of God. Surely when we think of the rebellion of Judah, how they were wayward, how they turned away from God, yet in mercy and in grace the Lord speaks these words through His servant. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness. He reminds them that there's a remedy for their sin, that there is cleansing, there is washing, there is deliverance from sin. And that shows us the grace of God, the love of God, that is greater than all human comprehension. Friend, on save tonight, this same great truth it presents to you and I, the wonderful truth that God is a God of love. That God is a God of mercy, God of grace. The Bible says God so loved the world. The Bible says His compassions, they fail not. And the fact that there's a remedy for sin, that there's cleansing from sin, it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is love, that God is a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God whose compassions never fail toward the sinner. Well, friend, realize this tonight. Yes, God knows all about your sin. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot hide sin from God. The people of Judah could not hide their sin from God. Neither can you and I hide our sin from God. Our sin is something, yes, that grieves God. Judah's sin, it grieved God. And our sin, our waywardness, our rebellion, it grieves God. You turn in your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3, you'll see this. Here we read of those who were watching the Lord Jesus. They were out to find fault with the Lord Jesus because He healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day and the Lord's day. And look at what you read about them in verse number 5 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. It says of the Lord, and when He looked round about them on them with anger, notice it, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. Christ was grieved over the hardness of their heart. Christ was grieved over their sin, over their rebellion and waywardness against Him. And it reminds us of this very same truth that our sin is grieving to God. God knows about our sin. Our sin grieves God. He knows, yes, that our sin will ruin our lives. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and all over this town, this community, all over our land tonight, there's lives, there's homes, there's families, there's people, and their lives is in turmoil. Their lives are ruined, and it's because of sin. Sin is a terrible paymaster. It reaps terrible rewards. And friend, God knows all about this. And God knows also, dear friend, that your sin, if it is not forgiven, will damn your soul in hell in a lost eternity. Because the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. The reality of sin, God knows all about it and the effects of it. Yet in love and in mercy, what does God do? He calls you and I to Himself to have our sins dealt with, to have our sins cleansed away, to have our sins washed away in the sight of Almighty God. You know this fact, dear friend, that God calls you and I to be washed from our sin? It shows that it is possible. It is possible for you and I to have our sins cleansed away, to have all our sins cleansed away in the sight of God. You know, whenever a person is concerned about their soul, the devil fights against them. And he will sow seeds of doubt in their heart and mind that there's no remedy for your sin, that your sins cannot be dealt with and cannot be pardoned. That's a lie from the deepest pit of hell itself. A lie against God, a lie against the gospel, a lie against the Lord Jesus Christ. Because men and women, young people tonight, the gospel message is this, is that sinners, whoever they are, whatever their sin is, can have their sins forgiven before Almighty God. And that's a truth we find stated throughout the Bible. Turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3. And go down to verse number 28 of that chapter, and you'll see that for yourself. Here the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking, who is the truth, who always speaks the truth, who always spoke the truth. And in verse 28 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, he says these words. He says, "Verily." And whenever the Lord commences a verse with the word "verily," he said, this is something that is absolutely sure and certain. He says, "Verily I say unto you," he says, "all sins," notice it, "shall be forgiven unto the sons of men." And there Christ reminds you and I of the certainty of the reality of sins forgiven. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the heart of the gospel. And you know, my friend, tonight the forgiveness of sins is the greatest of all miracles. And that miracle has been provided, and that miracle has been made possible. How? Be anything that man has done, no, or that you and I might ever do, no. It has been made possible for us through the redeeming sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son upon the cross of Calvary, when he suffered and bled and died as our substitute and offered himself as an atonement for God, to God for sinners. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says of Christ, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Praise God, by the precious blood of Christ, that blood that Christ shed at Calvary, dear friend, all your sins can be forgiven. Glory to God. All your sins can be pardoned. All your sins can be washed and cleansed away. That's the gospel. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what we're singing about in that great gospel hymn. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Dear friend, in the meeting tonight, can I say the precious blood of Christ alone is the remedy for your sinful heart? It's a remedy for your sin. Through the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sins can be blotted out, cancelled out before God, cast into the sea of his forgetfulness, cast into the sea of his forgiveness. The Lord says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake, and will not remember thy sin." This was the message that was being presented to ancient Judah in the day of Jeremiah. And it says, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness." And friend, in this gospel meeting tonight, it is the same gospel truth that we present to you. It is that our sins can be forgiven, washed, cleansed away through the blood of Christ. Our text says, "Wash thine heart from wickedness." And that means, friend, that personally you must come to the Lord, that you must seek the Lord for this cleansing. And the way for you to seek that cleansing is for you to confess your sins to God, to repent, and by faith alone, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to cleanse and to wash away your sins before Almighty God. Indeed, that's what the publican was desirous and off, and that's what he was praying about when he said to the Lord, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was coming before the Lord confessing his sin as a poor and needy sinner, asking the Lord to deal with his sin, to cleanse away his sin. Again, that's what the dying thief was praying about when he died on the cross beside our Savior. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He was confessing his sin to Christ in the very presence of Christ, and he was desirous that the Lord would deal with his sin and cleanse away his sin. And friend, this is what you must do also if you're to have your sins cleansed away. You must come before the Lord by faith and confess your sin to the Lord. Ask him to wash you and to cleanse you from all your sins. My, this is what ancient Israel were being called upon to do. Look at verse 1 of Jeremiah chapter 4. It says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me." They were to return in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight to be saved, to have your sins forgiven, washed away before Almighty God, you too must come by faith to the Lord. Confess your sins to the Lord and trust in Him. Call upon Him. Rest upon His blood alone to wash away your sins. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 55. Look with me there at verses 6 and 7. It says there, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Tell me, dear friend, have you ever come to the Lord by faith? As a poor and needy sinner before the Lord, have you ever confessed your sin to the Lord? Have you ever asked the Lord to save you and to cleanse you from all your sins by His precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary? Oh, if you haven't, oh, that you would do so tonight. Oh, that you'd come by faith to the Lord, that you'd trust Him. And turn away from every other false refuge and false salvation of man. Look at the final statement there of Jeremiah 4, verse 14. The Lord says, "How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" Judah thought that judgment wasn't coming for them, that they could live as they pleased, that it didn't matter what they did in the sight of God. They were trusting in false hopes, vain and empty hopes, broken sticks, as it were, of salvation. And you know, there are many like that in the world tonight. They think there's no such thing as God's judgment day. They're trusting in some false hope, some false religion, some false salvation of man. Friend, don't you follow that example. Don't rest on any false hope or religion of man or false belief of man. Heed the word of God. Heed the word of the gospel. Realize there's a day of wrath, a day of judgment, and come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him and call upon Him for mercy, for salvation, for cleansing through His precious blood. And do not delay. If the only moment that you are sure of is thou, is this present moment in time. That is why the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Friend, now tonight is the time for you to seek the Lord for salvation, the cleansing away of your sin. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for you and for me. Some other time, some other week, some other day is not guaranteed. That is why the Bible says, "Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart." Yes, in this call, we see man's sin before God. We see, yes, that man's sin can be cleansed away. Notice finally here in this call to salvation, it highlights the certainty of being saved. Note the words, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness." Notice the words, "that thou mayest be saved." Notice that word, "saved." This was the Lord's promise to ancient Judah. If they repented of their sin, had their sin cleansed away by God, He would save them at that time from their enemy and from judgment. Look at the latter part there of verse 1 of the chapter. It says, "And if I will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove." The promise was there that judgment would be stayed and that they would be saved. Dear friend, can I say to you tonight, God's promise of salvation is the same for you. If you repent of your sin, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the cleansing away of your sin, you shall be saved. Saved as a Bible word. Many don't like the word saved. Many say, "Oh, don't worry about that word. It's an old-fashioned word." Well, it's a Bible word. It's a word that is found in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. The Lord says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Salvation, being saved, is a reality. And the Lord does not lie. He always keeps His word. The promise here is of salvation being sure and certain. You know, whenever you are saved, God forgives all your sins. To those who are saved, He says, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." When you're saved, God by the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart, and He will be with you in life.
The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when you're saved, he will deliver you from hell, from eternal damnation. He'll give you a place in God's heaven. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Christ says, the righteous go into life eternal. And dear friend, whenever your sins are cleansed away by the blood of Christ, your place in heaven is sure. Your place in heaven is guaranteed. Turn with me, please, over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. And just look with me at what Paul says there in verse number 30 of this great chapter. A chapter of great comfort and consolation to those that are saved, who have trusted the Lord. And look at what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 30, speaking of those who are saved. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And them he called, whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, notice it, them he also glorified. And that phrase there, them he also glorified, it speaks of heaven, life everlasting, life immortal. Praise God, when you're saved, when you're trusting in Christ, when your sins have been dealt with, put away by the blood of Christ, dear child of God, God has a place for you in heaven. He has a place for you in glory. You remember what the Lord said to his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. A place reserved in heaven, a mansion in glory. A mansion in the skies for the people of God and the children of God. That's what the Lord promises to you when you're saved. That's what being saved means, forgiveness of all your sins. The Lord with you, the Holy Spirit dwelling in your hearts, saved from the wrath to come, saved from eternal damnation, and oh, sure of a home in heaven. And also in this life, when you're saved, the Lord, by His grace, by His Spirit and power, will enable you to live for Him, to overcome sin, overcome the world, and live day by day in your daily life to the glory and to the honor of God. The Lord says, I will put my Spirit within you, cause ye to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It's the Lord who does the saving. It's the Lord who does the keeping. And it's the Lord who does the enabling, who enables us day by day to live for Him, to live for His honor, to live for His glory. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, before he was saved at the age of 21, George Mueller lived a very immoral life. His life was marked by drunkenness, by stealing, thieving, dishonesty, and lying. You know, whenever the Lord saved him, he transformed his life. He changed his life, turned it around. From that day onward, by God's grace, George Mueller sought to live for God's honor and God's glory. During our time on holiday, I was reading through the life story of Dr. Bernardo. Wonderful encouragement to read for the believer. Before he was saved, he lived for self and sin. But once he was saved, his life was changed, turned around completely by the power of God. His life was never the same again. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The call here to Jerusalem was, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from thy wickedness that thou mayest be saved. God promised to save them, to deliver them, to bless them if they repented of their sin, if they turned by faith to the Lord and sought the Lord. Friend, that's the Lord's promise to you tonight. He'll save you. He'll change the whole course and direction of your life. Change it around completely. Give you a home in heaven, a home in glory. Friend, tonight, is it the burden of your heart to be saved from your sin? Is it the burden of your heart tonight to have the fetters of sin broken in your life? Is it the burden of your heart tonight to be sure of heaven? What a joy to be able to put your head on the pillow at night and be able to know with assurance, if I don't wake up from my sleep, I'll waken in heaven, I'll waken in glory. Is that your desire tonight, to be sure of heaven, to be absolutely certain of glory? Then, friend, heed tonight the message of the gospel. Seek the Lord for salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Come tonight and trust Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We'll close our meeting tonight. Be singing together hymn number 272. 272. God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, O hear him calling, calling now for thee. Though you have wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still. 272. We'll stand as we sing.
Prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a concern in your heart about your need of salvation, I urge you to seek the Lord. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away, only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and appoint you to Jesus alone, who is mighty and able and willing to save. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here this evening. Bless Thy Word and bless Thy truth to every heart. We thank Thee for each and every one tonight in this meeting who has been to that fountain from the Savior's side that has been opened up for sin and for all uncleanness, For all have washed and sought the Lord for cleansing in the blood of Christ. Bless thy people, lead them on with God. Encourage the saints of God on to heaven. But Lord, for any in our gathering, any also may be listening in online, not saved, never yet been to Christ, never yet been to the cross. Oh, that tonight thou would draw them, Lord, irresistibly unto yourself, that they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord, and trust him whom to know is life eternal. Part us with your fear and blessing. Take us to our separate homes and say for a day, journey with us. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. And while the voice of man is silent, speak on, we beseech of thee. We ask, we pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen.